They know that there's a turnover issue. They know there's a, you know, a presentee issue when employee has their mind somewhere else in life and they're at work, but they're not really at work and giving all the best that they can because they're worried about their rent or their transportation or childcare. So it is our primary service, and these resource navigators meet one-on-one with employees to help overcome those issues that prevent them from being their best at work.
I'm going on the record, A, that you should charge more, and B, that every employer who's got any kind of low-wage workers ought to be looking at this. This is the ProCo 360 podcast with stories and lessons from Colorado's world-class entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor. My guests and listeners love it here. We crave knowing more about Colorado's unique and amazing successful businesses. And thanks to listeners, ProCo 360 is Westward Reader's best Denver podcast and a top 15 Colorado podcast on FeedSpot. This is my first of a special series of episodes featuring philanthropic entrepreneurs of Colorado-based nonprofits that are doing amazing work in support of our state and our business community. These are organizations that are admired across the country, even around the world, for their innovative services, and I'll be weaving these episodes into the mix as it feels natural. To lead off the series, I'll be speaking with Lydia Romero, founder and CEO of Work Life Partnership. I learned about Work-Life Partnership from my friend Linda Montgomery Streeter, who works there. I love this organization because it helps lower-wage workers solve the problems that keep them from being able to go to work even when they want to. Work-Life Partnership is helping those workers and helping their employers maintain a reliable workforce. So with that intro, Libby Romero, thanks for joining me via Zoom as a guest on ProCo 360.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Let's start with, you've got kind of an interest, you're the founder, so you have kind of an interesting backstory. Why don't you share that?
Yeah, so I came to Colorado from Indiana in 2009. My husband was taking a postdoc up in Boulder, and I was 5 months pregnant and really intentional about getting a job that I would feel fulfilled in and wouldn't mind watching my growing ankles grow. Pre and post-pregnancy. So I landed at Jefferson County under the guidance of a lovely woman there who remains a mentor today. And she was really interested in bringing this job retention model from Grand Rapids to Colorado. We both loved each other's spirit, and I said yes. What's interesting is that Work-Life was back then funded by the American Recovery Act from the recession coming off the heels in 2009. For at least the first 5 years. And it wasn't until I was able to take it out of JEFCO 5 years later or 4 years later to become a 501c3 that I was able to build sustainable revenue by charging employers what it costs to run the program. So, you know, I started this in 2009. I had two more kids between 2011 and 13, and slowly grew the organization to be the only of its kind west of that Grand Rapids model.
When you say you've grown it, how big is it now? What's the revenue?
Yep. So our revenue is about $1.3 million. We have 25 full-time employees. I'm proud to say I pay 90% of their health benefits and haven't laid off anyone during these unrivaled times. So I'm
pretty proud of that. Yeah. Now, what's the business value proposition? You're getting businesses to pay now for your services. How do you pitch them? What's their value?
I think the business proposition has changed rapidly. And I feel this new focus on this sort of culture each strategy, right? And talking to business owners who walk, talk, and breathe this mantra, they find value in partnering with us. And I think the other proposition for the moment right now that we find ourselves in is how businesses are positioning themselves in these radical times, the actions they take, the organizations, policy systems, and partners that they align themselves with really demonstrate how they value their community and their employees. And I think consumers are taking notice.
That's pretty interesting, because my thought when I asked you the question, Lydia, was that, you know, you're helping them have a more regular workforce.
Right.
So they have fewer, you know, unplanned absences and so forth. And it sounds like what you're seeing are that the companies that choose to work with you care as much about the culture that they create by helping to solve problems for their employees as they do about the actual regularity of the workforce.
Absolutely. I think those companies who decide to work for or who work with us, they know that there's a turnover issue. They know there's a, you know, a presentee issue when employee has their mind somewhere else in life and they're at work, but they're not really at work and giving all the best that they can because they're worried about their rent or their transportation or childcare. Surely that is one value proposition. And very quickly, it goes into culture and how we fit with the culture they have trying to build, and I guess the values that they place in their people.
So let's jump into a few examples of exactly what you do so listeners can appreciate sort of how you help employers and employees solve these problems. You've got four different buckets of services that you provide. This first one is pretty intriguing, called Resource Navigators. How about explaining that within the context of an example?
Yeah, so it is our primary service, and these resource navigators meet one-on-one with employees to help overcome those issues that prevent them from being their best at work. I guess it's best illustrated through stories. So this is Rita's story, and if you allow me some time to read it, I think it encompasses a lot of what we do. So Rita was kind of the do-it-all advocate for her family. She had navigated the complex systems of public benefits to really receive the aid she needed for her family. And she was able to obtain health care for her children despite the language barriers. However, coronavirus, you know, outbreak hit, and it really hit her family back financially. In the conversation she had with a navigator, she was really afraid about being able to afford her rent. She didn't know how to navigate that payment plan with the landlord and didn't really understand her rights as a tenant, given that everything was written in English. Navigating the unemployment for her spouse was a newfound challenge. And when the navigator and Rita met, they spoke in depth about their finances, prioritizing the most important bills and brainstorming new methods of income. The navigator really met one-on-one with her and walked her through, you know, what she should expect with the unemployment process and discussed how they needed to be proactive about following up so that they would receive those payments. The navigator also helped to support Rita and her family in understanding the lease, translating it, and actually helped walk her through setting up payment plans for her landlord. So I feel like that was a win-win for Rita and the landlord, right? As we know that landlords also need to make money here in this economy. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like, so the navigator's your employee, right?
Yes, the navigator's our employee. And it's
so they must have a, you know, a huge resource pool to pull from, like depending on whatever's going on with the employee, whether it's my car is broken, my I can't pay rent, I don't know where to find health insurance, any of those things. Your team has assembled what, this whole resource directory and protocol to allow to help folks go through these and fix these issues?
Yes, in a person, really. And we, you know, I think in this day and age where text reigns, there's still some comfort to know that, you know, on the other side of that text is a real human being who understands what you're going through, who understands, I think, the limitations of, you know, your community as well. When we help people, we need to understand their community. We need to understand their employer and where they live and breathe and work so that we can provide them that best resource for their budget.
I'm feeling like, you know, without work-life partnership, that an employee who has these challenges basically doesn't show up for work, instead is trying to deal with them on a day-to-day basis. It sounds like that's sort of what happens. And I'm going to ask you for a little more backstory on that after I remind listeners, this is Proco 360 named Best Denver Podcast 3 years running. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is the show featuring entrepreneurs who can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm speaking with Lydia Romero of Work Life Partnership. Thanks to our sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, the law firm of Holland and Hart, Kinsley Meetings, MicroStar Keg Logistics, and Total Coaching Systems. These great companies support Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs, and they support this show. Also, thanks to the Colorado Chamber of Commerce for its support for me and Proco 360. Basically, your employer clients have workers with all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems that could keep them from coming into work at any given day or not having their mind focused while they're at work. And work-life partnership has these resource navigators that just take them through the process of fixing those problems.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we take them through the process, but we also, you know, for us, we've talked about the employer and kind of the business proposition. We talked about the employee and getting them, you know, from a place of kind of scarcity and uncertainty, instability, to at least a place where they feel like someone is there helping them on a life issue that's getting in the way of work. And then for, I think, as a social enterprise in the Colorado community, we really care about a couple of things. One is, are we reducing stress and the illnesses and the danger to well-being that stress creates, right? As all of us are kind of bombarded with these fires everywhere, and some are much bigger and have bigger consequences than others.
I mean, if an employee has stress, mm-hmm. does the employee, I mean, is there really a connected line to their performance and to what the employer gets out of that employee? Can you really connect that dot?
I think we can, and a lot of research that's coming up on what prolonged stress does to someone's health and physical, mental, emotional health. And I think we've seen it a lot in the, I think brokers see it a lot, health insurance brokers see it a lot, in how employees are using those benefits and what they're coming in with, right? Anxiety attacks, depression, things like that. These prolonged stresses really do affect employees' health and well-being, which affect an employer's bottom line.
Yeah. Well, I could see where they affect the cost of healthcare. They also yes. affect, you know, the regularity with which, you know, workers produce.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Now you're you got 26 employees, you said?
Yes, 25.
25 employees. That's a good sized group. I mean, you're running a decent sized nonprofit now in Colorado. What I noticed on your website too, that you produce a very beautiful 2019 impact report. Talk about the role of impact reports in philanthropic organizations. They seem to have become much more important.
I mean, I think they are. I think we all sort of position ourselves as taxpayers in our community, right? And we want to see we all want to see that sort of return on investment in the place and space that we're giving ourselves to, and how that plays out with our neighbors and our colleagues and our extended community. So I think impact reports, what we've tried to do here is really focus on what we feel are the most pervasive, I think, issues in Colorado. And that is really sort of this idea that we think that people who are working have all the support that they need because they're making the appropriate income. What has been really stark since I've started this is that the people who came to us back in 2009 made $10 to $11 an hour. People who come to us now make $18 an hour. This is above this $15 minimum wage. People are still struggling at 18, 20, 23, 25 to really make it in our Colorado communities. And I think this was an issue in a booming economy. And obviously, I think with a focus on essential workers and what they do and don't have, it's even more of a focus now. So while our impact report, demonstrates this for something of the past, I still think it is even more important to look at sort of those wages, race, you know, ethnicities, who we're serving, how we're serving them to build hopefully a better inclusive economy moving forward.
Yeah. And even at $20 an hour, which 10 years ago seemed like a reasonable amount of money, we know people yeah. can't find housing. We know they can't pay their bills. What do employers pay for this service that you provide? There's a, mm-hmm. how does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does our sort of cost structure work?
Yeah.
So we do charge, right? We charge 100% of what it takes to run this program. And this is very different. And that's why we call ourselves sort of the social enterprise. And we base it off of forecasted utilization. And we take into account things like demographics, benefits offered, types of jobs, you know, what their pay, what the annual or average pay is.
Yeah.
But when and it comes we think right that down we'll get.
When it comes right yeah. down to it, like, is it a dollar an hour per person or 20 cents an hour? How do you do?
It is not per person, and we do that intentionally. We actually want to make sure that we do business with employers who have that right mindset to invest in, I think, in building a better and more inclusive workplace for these frontline workers.
What is it? So you have to answer the question somehow with an number. What does it cost?
Well, our minimum for like an employer of 100, 150 people is $25,000 a year. And that is unlimited services.
Wow.
We never put any max or min on how people see us and how often they see us.
Got it.
And we'll get a utilization for that small of a company, about 20%.
Wow. So they can help 20% of their employees for $25,000 a year. You got to imagine their payroll is well over $1 million with that size employee base. So for almost nothing, they can support 20% of their employees.
For almost the cost of one turnover. Yeah. Wow. I would say,
you should charge more. That's so.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think it's also important to say we utilize our 501(c)(3) status to bring in funding through things like Colorado Gives Day. And then we turn right back around and put it into the pockets of these people who are struggling to make basic needs.
Well, I'm going on the record, A, that you should charge more, and B, that every employer who's got any kind of low wage workers ought to be looking at this. It seems ridiculous that you guys aren't 10 times the size. So let me ask you a couple more wrap up questions here. Keeping focused on the theme of the Proco 360 podcast, which is world-class entrepreneurs who choose Colorado, how do you feel that Colorado aligns with your mission?
Yeah, I would say that we are bigger, Dave. So in 2017, we went national. So we have sort of this network of 90 plus employers across the country. And we can leave that for another more national syndicated podcast when you get there. But Colorado, I started here. I started my family here. I connect with the entrepreneurial tribe. I have prospered, I think, in this social enterprise world. We know that Colorado is made up of small businesses, and in the U.S., those small firms accounted for 64% of the new jobs created between 1993-2011, and then it accelerated to 64%, after 2011. So we know that small to medium-sized businesses account for most of the job production, and no doubt Colorado, because of its business makeup, is part of that trend. And I think this is powerful. We've seen tremendous growth from young companies in Colorado, led by, and I would say, the younger generation. I think that it's an opportunity for our type of model to be integrated into sort of these new and upcoming ways that new entrepreneurs are creating organizations and to be more inclusive. Yeah.
Very good. And that's, we don't have time to talk about it in this session. It does sound like it would present some interesting challenges in how you scale your services to smaller startup kinds of companies. It'd be interesting. But the last question I have is, the problems you solve seem like they're not going to go away soon. So how do you look at that relative to the mission of Work-Life Partnership?
So the problems, no, and they're not. And I think any nonprofit should be in the business of driving itself out of business, right? It would be great if everyone could afford life with the pay that they get. I think for us moving forward, we have this sort of, this economic justice mantra. And I think we it has sat in the back burner as we've grown very rapidly in responding to employers wanting to retain their workforce. But now we have to dive into these conversations on, what are the effects that are preventing people from being, what are the systematic things that are happening that are preventing people from being the best they need to be for you, employer? Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things that I think Colorado is just great at. We are resilient. We're explorers. We're wanderers as a state. And I have no doubt that our business environment and our business leaders will step up to that.
Yeah. So, it's one thing to solve the problems that we're all creating collectively. well, not to solve them, but to address them the way, you know, through groups like yours. It's another thing to solve them, right?
So
I think on that note, I'll wrap up. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my first episode featuring philanthropic entrepreneurs Lydia Romero of Work Life Partnership. Thanks for joining ProCo 360.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, thanks too for joining on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast and submitting a review. Thanks again to show sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, Holland & Hart, Kinsley Meetings, MicroStar Keg Logistics, Total Coaching Systems, and the Colorado Chamber of Commerce. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.